Good afternoon. We're here from Partick. Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. And we're delighted to be able to come out in the street on this glorious day and to bring to your attention something concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand here today, we do recognize that it may well be described as Christianity is going through a difficult period, a difficult time, because organized Christianity is in a very bad state. Many members of the public think nothing of organized Christianity, and we can sympathize with that view. There are many things that have happened in the professing Christian church that are abominable. And no wonder the general public does not have much faith or confidence in organized Christianity. I'm talking about widespread clerical, physical, and sexual abuse that has happened in certain sections of the professing Christian church. That, of course, is an abomination. That should not be happening. But if you knew anything of history, you would know that this has been happening for a long, long time. And this is one of the reasons why the Reformation took such a hold in Scotland in the 1560s. It was because the church of that day was in an abominable state, and there were many things happening such as has been happening in recent years and days. But of course, other sections of the professing Christian church have also been doing things that are contrary to the Word of God. They don't present the gospel. They don't preach the gospel. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe in a literal creation. They don't believe that God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days and all very good. They don't believe in a literal Adam or Eve. They don't believe in these things, and therefore the Christian church is in some sense discredited. And these ministers who occupy the pulpit, they don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that he is the eternally begotten Son. They don't believe in these things, these essential cardinal doctrines of the Bible. They don't believe in the physical bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if you don't believe these things and many other things that we find in the Bible, you don't have a gospel to proclaim. Well, we're here this afternoon to seek to present to you the authentic Christian gospel. And friends, what you must do when you consider the gospel, when you reflect upon what is said, you must take your theology, you must take your teaching, you must take your doctrines from the infallible Word of God. You must test your Christianity against what we find in the Bible. You will find no clerical abuse amongst the apostles and the disciples. They went around preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believed all the essential cardinal doctrines that are found in the Word of God. They believed that Jesus was and is the only begotten Son of God. They believe that he is God's answer to man's greatest problem and man's greatest need. And they believe that he came from heaven in order that he might save a people unto himself and to do all that was necessary to bring about the salvation of his people. And you will find there that in the Bible that the apostles believed all these things, and they believed them to such an extent that they were prepared to die for them. There is ample evidence in the Bible that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to suffer and he was going to die in Jerusalem. But on the third day, he would rise again. Now, when the disciples heard this on a number of occasions, they did not believe it. They could not comprehend. They could not take in this truth, this fact, that Jesus was going to suffer, he was going to die, he was going to be put in a tomb, but he would rise again. This was beyond them, and they didn't believe it. But after the resurrection, after that time, when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ with their own eyes, and of course there are plenty evidences for the fact of the resurrection. We are told in the Bible that up to 500 different people saw Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, with their own eyes on one occasion. 500 people can testify to the fact that Jesus rose victorious over the grave. And therefore, when they were convinced of this, they went about preaching Jesus and the resurrection. They were not ashamed. They were not frightened. And because of their adherence to the truth of the gospel, many of them, and indeed probably most of them, sealed their faith by their blood. They were so convinced of the truth of this that they were prepared to die for it. Now we realize today that in the wide professing Christian church, there are many people who don't believe these things at all. They don't believe these things at all. And therefore they have nothing to say to the world. They haven't any good news. But we do have good news. We have glorious news. We have wonderful news. And we find it in the Word of God. And that good news is centered around the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has come. He is the one who has suffered and died. He is the one who, through his life and death and resurrection and his continual intercession at God's right hand, he now has a gospel to proclaim. And he bids sinners to come to him. And even this afternoon, as we're out here today, freely preaching the gospel to all who will pass by, we would urge you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and to call upon this glorious person. But obviously, if you're at all thinking about what I'm saying, you will begin to ask yourself this question: why indeed should I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is he so important that I should call upon this individual? Well, you are to call upon this individual because he is the only one that can save. And therefore, there's probably another question that you want to ask. Why is it I need to be saved? Why is it? Am I not all right the way I am? What do I need to be saved from? Why do I need a savior? This is the very heart and the very essence of the Christian gospel. It teaches us that we are sinners. Now, we don't like that. We'd rather be flattered. We would rather be told that we're all well and everything's hunky-dory with us. But that's not what the Bible would teach. The Bible tells us, and you can read it for yourself. I'm bringing nothing new to you. You'll find it in the book of Romans. You'll find it in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where Paul says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And when he said there was no difference, he was referring to the Jews. The Jews thought they were a race apart. And of course they were, to a certain extent. They were the chosen people. But Paul is telling them there is no difference. Jew or Gentile, that's all non-Jews. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's our real problem. That is the problem that we have, every single one of us. We have sinned, and we have come short of the glory of God. It is very true to say that, as far as the world is concerned, the world has nothing against us. We haven't broken any of the world's laws. We haven't broken any of the laws of this land or of this country. And therefore, we are not to expect a policeman to come to our door and to question us over something, because we know we haven't broken the law of this land. But friends, we must remember that we are accountable unto another. We're accountable unto the Lord God Almighty, the one who made us and who formed us and who gave us his perfect law to obey. And the God of heaven, the mighty God of heaven, the one who made us and formed us, he says unto us, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, it doesn't matter. We can wear a clerical collar. We can go to church. We can read our Bibles. We can pray. We can do all of these things. But nevertheless, the Bible says to us, there is no difference. For all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. And therefore, that would tell us that all of us need to be saved. Every single one. Everyone, without fear, without exception. It doesn't matter your life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you have said. Every single one of us have sinned. And we come short of the glory of God. And therefore, it's remarkable. It is absolutely remarkable that God has provided a way of salvation. God has provided a way whereby we can be reconciled to him. And the only way that can happen is through Jesus Christ, who is Lord and who is Savior. And that's why we're here this afternoon. We want to tell you something about this person because we realize, and this is not a criticism of anybody, but we realize that you're largely ignorant of this person. You're largely ignorant of what he's done. You're largely ignorant of the importance of Jesus Christ. He is the most important person in the whole universe. He is the Son of God who came down to this earth in order that he might save people like you and I. People who in of themselves are sinful and who cannot save themselves and who are not right with God. But Christ, because he came and because he lived a perfect and a sinless life, and that he was punished in our room and place, he is able to provide a salvation for us. How can that be? How can it be that Jesus died and wrought a salvation and did something wonderful that would satisfy the just demands of God? Well, you see, friends, there was a great transaction. There was a great transaction when Jesus went to the cross. We know that wicked men put him to the cross. We know that the Jews handed him over to Pilate, and Pilate tried him and found that he was innocent, but yet he handed him back to the Jews, and they went and crucified him. They wouldn't have Pilate to be their king. Instead, they said, crucify him, crucify him. But when he was crucified, you know what was happening? God was punishing Christ in the place of sinners. In other words, let's try and understand this. The sins of mankind were placed upon Christ on the cross. That's why he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what he said on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was in some sense forsaken because he became sin. And because God is a holy God, he couldn't look upon sin. And for that time, in some sense, God forsook Jesus Christ on the cross because he became sin for us. But you know, friends, there was a wonderful transaction. Christ paid the price of sin. And if we will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will receive him as our Lord and as our Savior, if we will trust upon Christ, we will receive his righteousness. I said earlier, a moment ago, that he lived a perfect life. He lived an absolute perfect life. He did not sin in thought, in word, or in deed. Absolutely perfect, like no one else has done or no one else can do. Jesus lived a perfect life. And because of that, if we believe upon him, we receive his righteousness. There's the great transaction. He takes our sin. He is punished in our place. And we receive his righteousness. Is that not glorious?
Is that not wonderful? No wonder we cannot keep this good news to ourselves. We want to bring it out to all that you might hear this, because honestly we realize that very often you don't hear this. You may well go to a place of worship and you never hear these things. You might hear something else, but you will never hear the very heart and the very essence of the gospel. We're here this afternoon then to tell you something, and it can only be something. We cannot tell the full story. We could be here for weeks and weeks and weeks telling you about this glorious person and what he has done. But we want to introduce him to you, that you would seek him whilst he may be found. And may God bless his word to you at this time. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station, and we're situated beside Thornwood Primary School. We'd love to see you. Please come along. We simply preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. We're about to call it a day here. We've been out for an hour or so, and it's good to have this privilege and this opportunity to be able to speak a word. And we're grateful for those who have passed by and who have listened and have heard something. We come out today because, sadly, we do realize that most people don't go to a place of worship. Most people don't see a need for God or for Christianity. And we obviously would disagree. And we would seek to persuade you by telling you the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed to tell you that you need to be saved. And the only way to be saved is through Christ. He is the only Savior. He comes with the full authority of heaven. He is God's appointed Savior. He is the one who alone has come from heaven. We know there are many religions and there are many religious figures, and they make some bold claims. But this is true. Jesus Christ is the only one who has come from heaven. And more importantly, Jesus Christ is the only one who has returned to heaven, having completed his work. And his work was that he might suffer and that he would die and purchase a salvation for his people. And this he did. And he demonstrated the fact that his work was acceptable by the fact that he rose from the grave. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't worship a dead person. We don't worship someone that's in a tomb. This is what Christianity is all about. It's about new life. And we must experience this new life. Jesus has entered into resurrection life to the extent that sin and death has no longer any hold upon him. Death cannot harm or touch the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to tell you about this person, that you must have him as your Lord and Savior, that you must embrace him as he is freely offered to you in the gospel, and that you must follow him, that you are required to forsake your sin. This is the very essential requirement of the gospel. The gospel is repent, turn away from your sin, turn away from your idolatry, turn away from your Sabbath breaking, turn away from adultery and fornication, turn away from lying, from cheating and stealing, turn away from covetousness, turn away from all of these things that are outlined for us in the Ten Commandments, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the great news is when you follow Christ, you are given power. You are given power to live a new life. That's what the gospel comes with. It comes with power. I'm not your father. I'm a father to 5 children, but I don't believe I'm a father to you. But We preach Christ. We preach Him in all His fullness. And as we close today, I just want to challenge you with this word. Here we are. We're all alive. We're all well. We're all walking about. We're all fit. We're all healthy. But life can change. Life can change very, very quickly. We can be here today and gone tomorrow. I know it's a very sobering thought, and I know you might not like to think upon it, but nevertheless you must. Because one day you will go the way of all the earth. Where will you go? Where will you go? For the Christian, he will go to heaven. He will go to heaven because Christ has secured his place in heaven. And Christ has prepared him for heaven. But if we are not in Christ, if we don't have a Savior, where will we go? The Bible tells us clearly that we'll go to that other place, a place called hell, a place for the devil and his angels, a place that no one would want to go to. That again is another reason why we're here, to tell you about the Savior who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And you must seek Him, and you must call upon Him, and you must receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Teach us to number our days. This is the day of grace. This is a day when you can call upon Him. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, He said, and whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. A gospel promise from Jesus. If you will but call upon Him, He will receive you. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. And may the Lord bless His word to you.